We're back to the Neil Haley Show and also the Love Is podcast. I'm excited to welcome the program Kim Sorrell of Love Is. Kim, what's going on? And I know you're excited about our guest today.
Everything's great on my end. Neil, nice to see you and nice to meet you, Granger. Granger Smith, everybody who loves country music loves Granger Smith. You've had some great songs. You're a great songwriter, great song singer, and you made a music debut. A movie debut. You started yes. your acting career outside of music videos, I guess. And yes. Moonrise is such a good movie. And I felt like when I watched it that you were feeling it more than a lot of actors would. What was it like for you to shoot Moonrise?
Oh, that's interesting I wonder what it was that made you think that, because I was just nervous and trying not to forget my words and but I was very grateful for the opportunity to be there and to portray this character that I felt like it was an important character to emulate and to get out into the world. And so yeah, thank you very much.
And you'll find out Granger, his character is almost the same as the kind of guy he is in person, Kim. And what I've been blown away when we got to talk the first time is some of the stories that Granger told, that heartache and difficulties and challenges and how his faith's gotten through it. And Granger, can you kind of add more to what you talked about before? Because how your faith really feeds into this character and how you really, what you've dealt with in real life spoke to that character.
Yeah, it's interesting you say it that way, because it's almost like, and it's not that you said it wrong. It's that maybe if I was a better actor, you could say Granger is totally different on the screen and this character that he portrays than he is in real life. But I'm just not good enough to be anybody else but myself in my music or apparently in movies, which is okay. But that's because I'm not an actor, and I took the role because specifically, Neil, because I could relate to this character, you know. I've experienced extreme grief and loss in my life. My wife and I have, and I've lost my father. I've lost a son. And so to portray this character who's lost a wife, even though I don't know what it would be like to lose a wife, I do know what it's like to grieve. And I do know what it's like to hurt and to try to find some kind of redemption in a terrible situation.
You know, I give you more credit than Neil does. I don't think that was you.
We're messing with you, Neil.
because the character was so solemn, because it's so deep seeped in that grief and in that moment of grief and having a hard time coming out of grief, but finally does. But you had to come out of grief as well. Like what is it that helped you and helped the character come out of grief?
Yeah, it was finally coming to the realization, which the character does as well in the movie, that I cannot do it by myself. I cannot manifest some kind of magical universal energy within myself to fix something so deep. Now, I could manifest a kind of energy to help me run a faster 3 miles, or I can manifest some kind of energy to help me get a couple extra reps on the bench press. But when you're dealing with something so deep, so traumatic, there is a point where a human cannot do it without surrendering to his maker and realizing, God, I can't, I've tried, I've done everything I can to fix this and to make this better, but I can't anymore. So I lift my hands to you and I say, I surrender, take this from me.
And that's powerful that you can do that, Granger. Not easy, right? It's not easy to let go of all of it and say, it's in your hands now.
It's not, because especially in American Western culture, we have an idea that I fix it. I get myself out of it. I'll be fine. What do we always say when we're sick and someone says, you doing okay? We always say, I'm fine. I'll be okay. I will find a way out of this. And that is who we are. That is what has built this great country. That kind of mentality has been so fruitful for us to say, okay, you guys, I'm going to handle it. Just let me do it. Let me fix it. That has been very fruitful for us to an extent, but it also becomes a detriment to us when we put everything on our shoulders and pretend that we could fix the deepest pain in our heart, which is why we could see so much mental health problems that still are just penetrating this country.
Yeah, absolutely. And very few of our dollars that go into research go into mental health research. Yeah. And we need more. And we need more help. And we need more people talking about Jesus and realizing that, you know, Jesus will help you through a lot of stuff. I watched your video, Me, the Tree, and River.
Mm.
Oh, my word. I cried. Mm. But it was so profound, the way you describe the correlation between moving on. I hate the term moving on. I lost my husband and moving on doesn't sound right, but moving ahead and the tree losing its leaves. Can you talk about that a little?
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up because that actually happened to me in therapy. My Amber and I went to a therapy retreat in Tennessee for grief and loss, and we were with a lot of other people that had experienced different kinds of grief and loss, whether it was losing a mother or a husband or a child or a sibling or a grandparent. Everyone has experienced grief or will experience grief in their life. If you love, the more you love, the more you will grieve. And so the only alternative to having grief is just not love. And no one wants to do that. So we could say the more we love, the more we grieve. And that's okay. That's the evidence of our love. So in therapy, he kept asking me, he said, what do you want to be for your family? And I said, I want to be a rock. And he said, okay, what does a rock lean on? When it's having a hard time, what does a rock lean on? And I couldn't answer that question. And he said, I want to encourage you to think of yourself more as a tree with deep roots. You could be a big, strong, powerful tree, but you still move with the wind, and your roots are intertwined with other roots of other trees, and you still shed your leaves. And so he said, I want to challenge you to go into the woods in Tennessee, these beautiful woods in the fall. It was right around Thanksgiving, 2019. He said, take a pen and a piece of paper, and I want you to write down a conversation you have with a tree. So I went out there and I found the perfect tree deep in the woods. It wasn't the biggest one. It wasn't the smallest one. It wasn't the most majestic, but it looked like it had some strength to it. And it was connected to a river. And so I went out there and I thought, what can I say? This is kind of ridiculous. How do I write a story to a tree? And so I started the conversation like I would to anybody else. I said, hi, tree, I'm Granger. And the tree said, hi, Granger. And I said, what is it like to be so tall? And the tree said, it's beautiful. I could see in every direction, but it makes me more vulnerable to storms and wind, which could be dangerous. And so I just continued this conversation. And as I went down the list of things I would ask practically to a tree, if the tree could talk, I realized the connection that we all have with this tree. And this isn't some kind of crazy hippie talk. This was just a practical conversation if a tree could talk. And I wrote it down. Then I made the video that you're talking about. And, in a lot of ways, that really helped me to understand that we do need to shed our dead leaves, which then becomes the soil that becomes the life that we feed from. And at the very end of the conversation with the tree, I said, well, that's cool, tree, but I've lost my river. What do I do? And the tree ends up saying, shed your dead leaves, every one of them. Don't hold on to the weight. But they're not wasted. No dead leaf is wasted. It goes back into the soil. If you concentrate too much on the river, which gives us life from the bottom, then you lose the chance to stretch upward towards the light.
Such a powerful stuff. Kim has wrote a book, and I know your book's coming out soon, Granger. As you said, you're going to come back on my show when your book comes out. But Kim wrote a book called Love Is, and she has a Love Is question for you. Go ahead, Kim.
Yeah, after losing my husband, it made me question love, like what love is really. You know, God is love, but what does that mean?
Yeah.
And so I dedicated a year to search for it. I used 1 Corinthians 13 as a roadmap. Love is patient, love is kind. And I used one word a month I focused on to figure out what is love that is patient? What is love that is kind? I found out things about love that rocked my world and different than things people are necessarily taught. And anyway, you exude love. Your whole family does. Amber, beautiful Amber, just exudes love. What role did love have to do with this? So many couples, after going through what you went through, separate. Like they lose that. And it seems like when I see you guys, it's made you stronger rather than separating you. What role did love play in your life and in all of that?
Yeah, I think I can't wait to read your book. That's amazing. And in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, one of the underlying factors of all that on the biblical love, on God's love, is it's just not self-seeking. And that is such a plague to us as humans. We all deal with it. We all run into it. It always becomes an obstacle. But when we start to think, I need this, I want this, I want you to treat me this way, I want you to do this, I just want my kids to obey me, I just want my wife to understand me and give me space, I just want my mother to answer the phone and deal with whatever I'm about to pour onto her, I just want this traffic to clear so I can go ahead and get to work because I want to get there on time, because I don't want my boss, it's just always, I want, I need, I like, I understand. It's always I. And that's just not what Paul is describing in his letter to the Corinthians about what God's love is. It's selfless. It's not self-seeking. And so that is magnified in a tragedy, in a family, when it would be so easy to blame our loved ones, or to need them to give us something so that we could fill up from them instead of serving outward and pouring out. That's love, to pour outward, to serve. We all know in our lives a grandmother or an older woman that is vibrant. She's in her 90s and she's just still has this energy. And we look back on her life and go, all she's done is serve, serve, serve. And now look, that has given her life, that's given her longevity, that's given her energy. And then we have the other version of someone that just sits on the couch, they can't get out of their pajamas, they're just eating TV dinners, they have no social activity, and they die an early death without serving. There's a direct correlation between that. And Paul's saying that love is not self-seeking.
Okay. Powerful. And the best place, Granger, people can check you out and follow you on social media. But again, Moonrise is available right now on PureFlix and also other places as well, correct?
Right. Yeah, as far as I know, you could find me for sure on any social media, Granger Smith or GrangerSmith.com, including YouTube. But PureFlix is what's holding Moonrise right now until it gets released to, you could purchase it on Amazon. But right now, PureFlix is the best place to see it.
Awesome. We appreciate it, Granger.
Thank you, guys. And thank you, Kim. I'm so excited to read your book.
Yeah, right. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. That was, again, the Love Is podcast and Neil Haley Show. Take care.